Well, the Golden State of California is now estimated to be $500 billion in debt. This debt is unsecured, which simply means there is no money to pay it off. This transcoloration from Golden State to Red Ink State leads us to ask, what happened to all the money?
Welcome to the award-winning Food Chain Show with your host, Michael Olson. Now, get ready for an hour of What's Eating What Radio.
Well, hello out there. You are tuned into the 716th edition of the Food Chain right here on News Talk Radio. Or hey, perhaps you're among our friends over there in Lisbon who are tuned in as we stream along on the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com. Well, whoever you are and wherever you are, welcome aboard. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What Radio with engineer Nikki James.
Good morning.
How are you, Miss Nikki?
Excellent.
Good. Folks, blessed with a Mediterranean climate, the perfect geography for capturing and storing precipitation, and sunshine softened by moisture-laden Pacific air, California is the perfect place to grow food for anyone who can make their way in. Many have made their way to realize this California dream, and over the past six decades, California agriculture grew to produce almost 20% of the world's food. It's incredible, 20% of the world's food, which made the state very golden indeed. But then something happened. Today, California is estimated to be $500 billion in debt, and this debt is unsecured, which simply means there is no money, nor any source of money, dedicated to pay off the debt. Wow. Furthermore, the financial infrastructure that supported California's agriculture is eroding to the extent many farmers may not get the money they need to grow food. The nation's Golden State has thus become the nation's Red Ink State, and all of this leads us to ask, what happened to all the money? Here to help us work out an answer, we have a couple of money men, one from Fresno and one from the California's Central Coast. We'll start with our Fresno, Morris Garcia. Morris, welcome to the Food Chain.
Thank you very much. Nice to be a part of it.
Good to have you aboard. Western Ag Financial, tell us about your organization.
Well, my company has been in existence since 1985, and basically I arrange financing, short-term financing and long-term financing for farmers and food processors with banks and insurance companies.
And you represent a number of different financial institutions then, right?
I actually don't represent the institutions. I came out of the banking. I started my career with the Crocker Bank years ago in the early 60s, and served with the Crocker for a number of years and with some major insurance companies and Coldwell Banker Agribusiness Finance. And then I left to start Western Ag Financial, and I had established relationships with banks and insurance companies during those years. And so they knew me, and I knew them, and I had a number of people, of course, that I had made friends with and knew, and farmers in California. So it worked to my benefit to be an independent broker and
good for you.
Take these people where they fit with whatever lender.
And it's always like that, right? It's always important to find the best fit.
Absolutely.
Also with us today, Pete Graff, board member of Cal Coastal Bank. Pete, welcome to the Food Chain.
Hello.
Yeah,
I'm
there
here.
There you go. Sit up right up next to that microphone there. There you go. Welcome back, I guess it is, right?
I guess so.
All right. Cal Coastal Bank. Tell us about Cal Coastal. Cal Coastal Bank?
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about Cal Coastal.
Oh, okay. Well, Cal Coastal, of course, has been in existence for, I don't know, more or less 30 years. And we are lenders to mainly in the berry business and vegetable growers here in the central coast area. We handle the FSA program and state guarantee programs to farmers.
Good enough. So here we have two gentlemen that represent, Fresno is the top producing ag district in the United States, right, Morris?
Yes.
And Pete, Monterey, Salinas, Santa Cruz, San Benito County, we're number two in the United States, right?
Well, yes, and if you look at per acre basis, I think we do more per acre than even Fresno.
We'll have a war about that one, that's for sure. But we have here, representing two of the top billing ag districts in the United States, and today we're going to talk about money. Folks, I've had the opportunity to visit some of the most fecund places on Earth, including the Great Nile Delta in Egypt and the Urubamba River Valley in Peru, but all pale in significance to the golden state of California when it comes to a place to grow food. Think about it for a minute. We have these wonderful, beautiful valleys filled with wonderful topsoil. Think about the great Central Valley of California stretching hundreds of miles the length of California almost. And we also have this wonderful range of Sierra Mountains that is designed almost perfectly to capture moisture as it flows from west to east from the Pacific Ocean across California. Those giant mountains scrape all that moisture out of the air and precipitation, and we have these deep valleys to hold that moisture in behind dams, and we have this wonderful Mediterranean climate that can support the broadest range of crops probably in the world. And we even on the coast, we have cool, moisture-laden fogs that make it possible to grow delicate greens through the roaring sunshine of midsummer. So it's just an awesome place to grow crops, and it is a wonderful thing that the good Lord made for the people on earth here. Here's this paradise to grow things with. But what kind of financial infrastructure did California establish to take advantage of this tremendous natural resource? So let's go back in time a little bit, and with Morris, you start. How did California rig up some finances to take advantage of this incredible opportunity to grow?
Well, one of the things that California had going for it, in part led to California's greatness in agriculture, was the California branch banking system that had been established. When that started, I can't say, but it was probably, in the after the Great Depression, and California basically had the branch banking system that maybe their head offices were located in San Francisco or in L.A., but they had branches throughout the state and throughout the valley and throughout the ag areas, and that helped facilitate was those money centers were where the funds were. They were able to accumulate those funds, at the money centers of their main offices.
Like in the big city, right?
That's correct. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, they were able to then funnel that money out to the valley and to the agriculture areas that were deficit in deposits. And that was just in itself a great facilitator to California agriculture.
Well, Pete, you were kind of a big city boy at that time this was happening, right?
Well, not really. I was up until probably around the sixth grade, then I got into the agricultural picture.
Did you see the development of this branch banking system in California?
Absolutely. We used to live up in the Rio Vista area of the Delta, the California Delta, and I was involved in farming when I was living in that area, pretty good-sized farming, actually. And we had local banks, a little bank called the Bank of Rio Vista, which is still there and is a home-owned bank. And one of the things that we saw that was very different in those days is that the bankers actually really were close and knew the people they work with in the agricultural communities. And we had another one up there in Walnut Grove called the Bank of Alex Brown. I'm sure the people in Fresno remember that particular bank. It's no longer the small ag bank that it was. But I can remember the head cashier at the bank knew the people very well and knew their operations, and so when you needed money, you could go in and talk to the banker, and he understood what was going on with your operation, and it was an entirely different way of doing things. And this money, as it was coming out of a place like San Francisco, but it came to the local areas where they knew the local community and they're part of that community. So there was a difference.
So then the Morris, the branch bank manager, then would be responsible for the money given him by the head bank, right?
Well, you know, in those days, the branches, they almost were like independent banks. I mean, most of the staff had grown up in the area or that community, been educated in that community, or perhaps it was a son or a daughter that had come off the ranch. Maybe there wasn't enough for them to stay in the family operation, so they joined the local branch bank as a maybe starting off as a teller and working their way on up. And in those days, the branch banking system had an excellent training program. I mean, they would start off by, of course, training in-house, and then they would then send their staff to night school, to California Bankers Association. American Bankers Association used to have local classes at the high schools or community colleges in the communities, and then they had the Robert Morris and Associates training programs for the banks. And then as those people went from worked their way up within the branch and maybe into a loan officer position, then a lot of the branch banks had fairly sophisticated training programs, and they would then take those people in that branch, assign them to the training division, perhaps for a year or 6 months or 2 years, depending on their needs, and train them in every facet of banking. Maybe send them to a banking school, either Pacific Coast Banking School, or there were some banking schools back
then. And those were the good old days. We're going to have to take a quick break. But when we come back, what happened to the good old days? Folks, this is The Food Chain. Michael Olson here. Today we're talking money. What happened to all the money? We have Morris Garcia, who is a consultant with Western Ag Financial, and Pete Graff on the board with Cal Coastal Bank and you. 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Right back.
Get this. The average acre of farmland in or near the city limits may earn in excess of $123,000 per year. To learn how so much can be earned from so little, pick up a copy of MetroFarm, the guide to growing for big profit on a small parcel of land. MetroFarm is the PMA Ben Franklin Book of the Year Award winner by Michael Olson that contains over 500 pages of photos, charts, checklists, illustrations, and in-depth interviews. MetroFarm will teach you how to develop a strategy, survey markets, select crops, organize business, establish production, prepare for market, and make the sale. MetroFarm will teach you how others just like you earn a good living by growing high-value specialty crops for people who are truly appreciative. Abraham Lincoln said, "The greatest fine art of the future will be the making of a comfortable living from a small parcel of land." Get in on that future today. Pick up a copy of MetroFarm at bookstores, lawn and garden supply stores, 1-800-624-BOOK, or at www.metrofarm.com.
Welcome back, folks. Mike Olson here. This is the Food Chain Radio program. Today we're talking about money. What happened to all the money in California? You know, when you think about California, you think about the Golden State, and when it comes to growing food, it is the Golden State, producing almost, 20% of the world's food. Tremendous productivity here. And yet, somehow, the state finds itself in a financial bind to the tune of some $500 billion. Unsecured debt. There is no money to pay it, and there is no source of money dedicated to paying it either. It's just there, a giant albatross. What the heck happened to the money? How will it impact agriculture? What are we going to do for money to grow our food? And so that's the question on the table today. We have Morris Garcia with Western Ag Financial and Pete Graff, board member, Cal Coastal, two of the most productive areas of agriculture in the United States. Acre per acre can't beat us anywhere, can you, Pete?
I think when you get somebody growing 7,000 crates of strawberry per acre, you've got a pretty productive area.
What do you think, Morris? Can you beat us anywhere in the world?
Well, you know, obviously the coast is very intensive. The vegetable and the strawberry, and those are very high-value crops, and they're able to, especially the vegetables like in Salinas Valley, in some cases they grow three crops a year. Obviously, the valley here is unbelievable. as to what it's able to produce. It generally is a one crop or possibly two crop a year program, but obviously you have thousands and thousands of acres
right
here in the valley to
more produce. more room to work with, the big valley, the big huge giant valley. Well, good. We're talking a little bit about where the money is going to come from agriculture. What happened to that wonderful banking system that we had developed, the branch bank system, where the money in the big financial centers like San Francisco and Los Angeles would funnel their money to the smaller banks out there in the fields where the farmers were. Farmers got to know the branch manager, and the branch manager got to know the farmer, and everybody knew everybody's business. And it seemed to work pretty good. What happened, Morris?
Well, you know, I was just counting the number of banks, large branch banks that existed. And, of course, I know I've forgotten some of them. But I list 13 here that, you know, back in the 60s and 50s and 70s that existed. And today, and those are banks that were involved in agriculture. In addition to that, there were smaller banks that existed up and down the state that also participated in agriculture. But today, if you look at, you know, what you would refer to as branch banking system that or banks that participate in ag, you know, you're looking at maybe four.
Wow, that's a huge consolidation.
Absolutely.
Pete, what happened?
Well, what happened was the word merger. You can see it right here locally with our, we used to have a little bank in Watsonville called the Pajaro Valley Bank. Then that became a part of the First National of the Central Coast. Then that got taken and merged by the big organization of banks that started and headquartered out of Santa Barbara. So just in the last 20 years, you've seen a tremendous change in what's happened with banks.
It's kind of like the same thing that's happened with media then. You know, a few very big companies have come in and bought all the little companies, and now the... So what happened with that banking relationship, Morris?
Well, you know, in those past years, that staff did not move around like people do today. I mean, they were people that were raised in that area. They knew the people. They knew the area.
Absolutely.
They were trained in that area. They were trained in credit and agriculture in that area. So they had a really good handle on things. Today, of course, these guys move around up and down the state, and I don't know what the average life is of a guy with a bank, a lending officer with a bank, but maybe you're lucky to have them be there 3 years, you know, and they're so they come in, they're new to the area, to the community. Back then, you had there was always someone. And I'm going to use the Crocker Bank as an example. There was always someone somewhere that knew just a great detail about an industry. So that if you were in another area and you wanted to tackle a loan in that industry, you had an expert within the bank that you could contact, or maybe more than one expert. You know, but nowadays, I mean, it's the movement of staff makes just a big difference.
Well, Pete, how is the bank supposed to know what's going on? Because, you know, here on the Central Coast, and even in Fresno, we're talking about some technologically immensely difficult things to calculate and figure. You know, how many crates of strawberries per acre were you?
7,000, yeah.
So that's intense stuff.
Oh, yeah.
How is a banker supposed to learn this, or do they?
You know, that is a very good point. The agricultural loan officers are hard to find. That's a real problem. The loan officers that Morris is talking about are, in my opinion, are bankers. But they're looking at it from a different approach than what the old ag loan officer used to do. And they're very hard to. It's very hard for us to find a good ag lender. And we have, at our organization, fortunately, both of our agricultural lenders that we have been there for a number of years. They don't move around. And I guess one of the things that's continued for us at Cal Coastal is those loan officers do know the community quite well. They're very close to the to the people that they're working with. And we also use an agronomist that keeps us well aware of what's happening with the farms. But we're a small organization, and we're a local kind of an organization.
What do you see, Morris?
Well, I'm currently involved in an independent bank here in Fresno, and the independent banks have picked up a lot of slack. The problem is they're limited as to, because of their capital, as to the size of their loans. So once an ag operation grows to a certain extent, I mean, then he has a problem because he needs more than what the bank, local bank, may be able to extend to them. So that does become a problem. The other problem is the bank examiners. And in back in those days, you could have a dialogue with a bank examiner. They respected what you knew about your area, your borrowers, your industry. Today, I mean, you knew the bank examiner. The same group generally came back year after year, 3, 4, 5, 6 years. Today, every time there's an examination, it's a different person. They don't know the industry. They don't know the area and the personal relationship between the bankers and the examiners just doesn't exist like it used to. And it was a good relationship. It wasn't a good old boy relationship. You had to prove that you knew what you knew, and that you, but you at least got the respect from those examiners.
You got lots of nods of assent from Pete there. Folks, this is the Food Chain. Michael Olson here. Today we're talking money. What happened to our money with Pete Graff, board member Cal Coastal, Morris Garcia, Western Ag Financial, and you. 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Well, times have changed, folks. It used to be farmers lived on the land. They owned their own land, and they could go to the bank and get some money, and the lender would look at their land and go, well, you have a piece of land here I can hold against your loan, so we're in business. But times are different now. Farmers, a lot of them, at least here in California and around, a lot of them are more like building contractors who are working on spec, in that they put together the land, they rent some land, and they go out and get some seeds, and they get some fertilizer and all of the inputs, and then they do it all with money that they borrow from the bank. But what happens if there isn't any money to borrow anymore? And that's the question we're working with today. What's going to happen with our food if the farmers can't borrow money to grow their food? This is The Food Chain. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour. Today we're talking with Pete Graff, who is on the board member of Cal Coastal Bank, and also Morris Garcia, who is the principal for Western Ag Financial in Fresno. So we've got the two most productive farmlands in the United States here represented here today. Morris, we were talking a little bit about the loss of the bank examiner and the loss of the personal banker. And Pete's over here nodding his head vigorously up and down. Yes, it's gone, it's gone. What happened to it, Pete?
Well, we've become more bureaucratic. There's just more, so much more paperwork and more rule and regulation. And as Morris said, the other thing is that it's new people all the time. You don't have the consistency of working with the same examiners. It's the same thing with the loan officers, in many cases with some of the banks. So we've gone through a lot of changes.
So how is the bank examiner supposed to know what's going on if really the loan officers really don't know what's going on? Because how are you supposed to get your hands, how are you supposed to get your knowledge around a business that's generating 7,000 crates of strawberries in an acre? I mean, that takes some time to figure out what's going on here.
Well, that's why it's important to have a good agricultural loan officer. And they're hard to find, as I said before, but it's working closely with the client that used to be even more common when you had the old system Morris was talking about with the local system.
Well, Morris, when you take a prospective borrower to a prospective lender, you're kind of in the middle there, so you've got some serious selling to do, right?
That's correct, and you know, of course, there's fewer and fewer people to go to today, and there are fewer trained people, and So, I mean, you know, it makes, I spend a lot of time in the write-ups and the analysis, and it's very frustrating sometimes because it's, sometimes you're dealing with people that just really don't, you know, fully understand the situation. Now, of course, I've ended up with just a handful of people that I go to that do understand the situation. But, you know, they don't always have an appetite for every transaction or every deal or every industry. So you're blocked in that, from that standpoint, because before there was always somebody else that said, you know what, I like that guy. I like that area. I like that type of transaction. You could always find someone to go to. And in addition, there was what I call loan workout facilitators. And when I say that, there were food processors that did financing, so that if a farmer got in trouble and he really was not bankable, then you had another tier of lenders that you could go to. And here in the Valley, it was like Producers Cotton Oil Company, Anderson Clayton and Company, Coast Grain, Triangle Grain. These were guys and processors that had large lines with large banks, and then they would relend that money to these farmers that had some tough times.
You're speaking in the past tense. You said had.
Yeah, they're all gone. All of them are gone. Yeah, all those entities are gone now. So you don't really have access to that. And what you would do is you'd get that customer back in good shape after 2 or 3 or 4 years. Then he'd be bankable again. You could take him back to the bank. He could, you know, then it'd give him some more independence because he wasn't just tied to that one processor. But those processors really filled a need, and that is gone.
So here we have an interesting situation. We have fewer banks, far fewer banks. What, a quarter of the number of the banks? Something like that?
Yeah, absolutely.
We have bankers that come and go so quickly they really can't understand what agriculture is in a particular area, unless they've been there long enough to understand it, in a state that's, for all intents and purposes, bankrupt. So what's going on in the lending business? Is there money for agriculture, Pete?
Well, it was interesting that Morris mentioned that the way they used to get finance from the organizations that purchased their crops and so on got them bankable. That's basically what CalCoastal does. We take these guys that are basically not bankable with anyone else and get them so they're, quote, healthy, and then try to get them to graduate to a bank. The problem is there are very few banks to graduate them to right now, particularly in our area. And bankers are, in what I've seen, is in many cases are very shy to deal with somebody whose assets are their crop and a little bit of equipment, which is not worth much when you have to resell it, and there is a high risk. So, you know, we take a real long look at the consistency of the guy's ability to farm. In other words, if it's a good berry farmer that can grow 6,000 to 7,000 crates per acre and he's done it for 4 or 5 years, somebody's going to look at him. But many of them are not that strong.
So, Morris, sounds like a tough sale.
It is, and then on top of that, I mean, what's happened here in the Central Valley is the issue with water. And that issue is scaring lenders half to death because, you know, no one wants to make a loan to someone and have him not have enough water to get through the year with his crop. And, I mean, that is a big factor. I mean, thousands and thousands of acres are being affected by that, where the, you know, our brilliant government is taking water away for some fish that no one cares about or can't eat or whatever.
Incidentally, that's the subject of next week's show.
Okay.
Is the Delta smelt. So hold on to your britches for that one.
Okay.
Folks,
well, it has an effect on the credit decision.
Yes, I'm sure it does. Or hold on to your phones. We're going to go to the phone right now. We're going to talk with Curry, I think is his name. Curry, are you there?
Hello?
Yes, go ahead. What's your name?
Hi, Kurt.
Kurt. Okay, good, Kurt.
Hey, I'm just wondering if part of the problem has been what's happened on Wall Street, where they basically took over all the banking operations and I'm just wondering if that's impacted everything, like in housing and everything else. It's all back to Wall Street. And if what we need to do is go back to some type of state sovereignty and to local banks and get away from the Wall Street.
What a question. Can you hold on a little bit, Kurt?
Sure.
Okay, hold on. We're going to have to take a quick break. Folks, this is The Food Chain. Michael Olson here. We're at 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Kurt has the question of the day. Should we go back to local banking and away from the federal government? What do you think? 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Michael Olson here with Morris Garcia, Western Ag Financial over in Fresno. Pete Graff, Cal Coastal here on the California's Great Central Coast, and you. Please do stay tuned because we will be right back. What do you think? Do you think farmers are going to get enough money to grow your food? Right back. Well, folks, here's a question for you. Who's going to grow your food if farmers can't get the money they need to grow your food? Well, what do you think? 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Kurt had a great question for our guest today. And go ahead, Kurt, ask that one more time because it was good.
Well, my concern is just with what's happening with the banking system with real estate. It's all gone to Wall Street, and they've taken everything over. And I almost feel like the solution for that is to come back to have local banks, state sovereignty. Wall Street screwed everything up so severely. And just reading a book called All the Devils Are Here on the hidden financial collapse, I'm just wondering how that's affected the agribusiness bank.
Well, let's put that question to people who should know. Morris, let's start with you. Morris Garcia, Western Ag Financial. How's the collapse of Wall Street and all the rest of the big money center banks, has that had an impact on lending to agriculture?
You know, I can't really answer that. I don't see it from where I come from. I mean, you know, we've still got we haven't even mentioned that, but we still have a very far a strong ag financing in the production credit associations, or I should say the farm credit associations and Federal Land Bank, that most of them are one and the same now. But even those organizations have consolidated, you know, where you had more associations throughout the state, they're fewer and far in between, they're bigger. And even though they're all farm orientated and all their guys are trained, they don't have the same personal local community situation as they used to, the same as the banks. But as far as this, you know, the recent collapse of Wall Street, what maybe is going to affect it and affect it worse will be if the government comes in and gets even more intrusive from the examiner's standpoint. Mm-hmm. You know, because every time something happens in the financial
they pass a bunch of laws,
they get new laws, new regs, and all of a sudden these guys come in, and so from that standpoint, that could be a detriment.
Pete, what do you see?
Well, to go back to the the Wall Street issue, I think one of the things that happened is that bankers, and I'm not talking about the ag organizations that Marisa's just talking about or our Cal Coastal, but bankers in general have changed their direction from agricultural lending to other kinds of lending, because I think mainly because of greed. I think that's how they got so involved in the real estate areas with some of the, so we say, shady kind of lending that went on. But, you know, they thought it to be less risky than agriculture, and it was more profitable. And I think so. I think that there was some effect from Wall Street. It might be an indirect approach, but I certainly think it has affected the lending industry, because banks are somewhat tight right now and have been. And agriculture is risky to a lot of people. If you don't understand it, it seems a lot more risky than if you truly understand it. It's
especially
it's a good business.
Especially more risky than a government backed mortgage.
So anyway, I don't know if that answers the question, but it's another way of looking at it.
What about going back to local banks?
Well, it would be nice, but I think it's idealistic. I don't see that happening. I would like to see it happen, frankly, but I've seen some changes with. You know, what's interesting is that the one bank that's come into this area, this Rabobank coming from Holland, is a bank that lends in a different way than what our banking industry does. They're very involved with the communities and so on. So, we're seeing some differences, especially in the agricultural area.
Morris, what do you think? Bring banks back to home. Take them back from the money centers in New York City and bring them back home.
I'm just a free market kind of guy, and if the market demands that, I suppose maybe it'll happen, provided the government would let it happen. Pete just mentioned, Rabobank, and that's a Netherlands-based bank that actually was an agricultural cooperative lending institution when it started out in the Netherlands.
Right.
And
co-op.
They're probably one of the largest ag lenders today in California. I mean, I don't know what their portfolio is, but they probably are as big as Wells or as big as B of A. And actually, they have done a very good job. They do approach it differently. They approach it more like the banks did years ago, and I think because of their financial strength, I think that they are looked at a little differently by the examiners. So they may get a break or two that other lenders do not get.
So what do you think? Is there going to be enough money here? What do you think, Kurt?
You know,
who's going to grow your food if the bank...
Here's what I think. What's really interesting, what made banking so profitable for the mortgage-backed securities was that the big banks started to rely heavily on derivatives, credit default swaps, and things like that.
Smoke and mirrors.
That helped, they thought, diversify the risk. And they came to believe in those so heavily that they could make a lot more loans with a lot less capital.
And it didn't
And
work.
I think what Wall Street's discovering, that they're not telling everybody, but people know, is that there was a lot of risk and that their risk models were inaccurate.
And it didn't work. Hey, I've got to take a quick break. Got to take a quick break, Kurt, but thank you so much for the call. Folks, when we get back, I'm going to ask the big boys here of finance the big question, which was, what happened to all the money? Right back. You stay tuned. Well, when it comes to growing crops for the world, California truly is the Golden State. However, the Golden State is now in hock to the tune of $500 billion with no money to pay that off and no source of money to pay it off either. So in deep trouble. And if farmers can't get our money to grow crops, how are they going to grow our crops? What are we going to eat? This is The Food Chain. Michael Olson here. We've been talking today with Pete Graff, Cal Coastal, and Morris Garcia from Western Ag Financial. So I got to ask you the big question, gentlemen. What the heck happened to all the money? Pete?
I'm just as confused as you are. I'm wondering where all that stimulus money went. I'm wondering about the money that went to the banks on Wall Street and how come it's hard to get loans. I think I have the same questions that everybody has. I wish I knew where the money went.
Morris, where'd the money go?
I'm going to have to ditto Pete because, I mean, it just it's hard to get loans. These banks, the banks, the major banks that are left that were making loans, they've just tightened up. You have the Treasury Department saying put money out, and you have the FDIC beating the banks over the head with a baseball bat. So it's a paradox. One of the other things, we had 10 insurance companies in the ag loan business back then. We have one insurance company left, really, Metropolitan, that truly does ag loans. I mean, it's happened in every facet: insurance, the banks, production credit. It's consolidated and dried up.
Well, Roy, where are we going to get the money to grow our crops if the banks aren't lending it?
You know, that's a good question, Michael. Some organizations are profitable enough that they don't need loans, and those guys will continue. So not everybody's in the market for production loans.
So they're self-financed, right?
Yeah, they're self-financed.
The people that have the money can make,
yeah,
can be in the business of making more money.
Right, and the other thing is, and this is more of a comment, not to the specifics. I'm not involved in the financial and the bag, more in the production. But the, you know, it is the one business here in California that's just been chugging along. You know, what the housing thing, construction, as everybody knows, is in the tank.
It's our last business, right?
It's producing real commodities that bring real dollars back to California. And, you know, from out of the country at times, and, well, actually quite a bit. So it's kind of the tortoise and the hare race, and it's right now it's the tortoise that keeps chugging along, and it's what's holding up local economies on the Central Coast. And then I know the Valley's been hit with the artificial water shortage, and hopefully that'll work its way out when saner people
Which is the subject of next week's show, so tune in for that one.
I will. Thank you guys for a good
all
show.
Right. Thank you all very much. And thank you, Morris Garcia, Western Ag Financial. Really appreciate you joining us today from Fresno.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pete Graff, Cal Coastal. Really a
pleasure to be here.
Honor to have you gentlemen ride along with me today. And thank you all for tuning in this edition of The Food Chain. A special edition next week, we're going to talk about the Delta Smelt and how we can save the Delta Smelt by turning the pumps back on in the Central Valley. Whoa, do stay tuned for that one. This has been The Food Chain. Again, thank you all for tuning in. If you want to join in with a conversation, you can always do so on the forum page at metrofarm.com. See you all next week for more What's Eating What Radio right here on The Food Chain.
Listening to the award-winning Food Chain Show with Michael Olson. If your friends missed the show today, tell them to log on to the radio page at www.metrofarm.com for a listen. Now go out and find some food with a farmer's face on it and live.